Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, depending if you're listening to this later or you're in another time zone. It's Michelle. This is Marketing a Story. Those who just heard it too, just before I started the recording, these last few weeks, I've just been so excited sharing this material with you. And Marketing a Story, we have never, ever done Marketing a Story in this way before. It has been scattered throughout the year. The information has been there, but even, I mean, there's new material that I'm sharing with you for the very first time, because our community is ready. I know you guys are ready to hear this, and I'm ready to teach it. And I have so wanted to share this with you guys. I am hopping out of my seat. So this is Marketing a Story, so crucial for your companies, for your lives, and it's going to be a phenomenal day. So let's begin in Shavasana so I can peel myself off the ceiling. So that we can all find that quiet space that will give us the most aligned and beautiful start for our Marketing a Story day. So find a comfortable spot where you can lie down, where you'll be undisturbed. Whatever else has happened before now in your day, let that go and be here now. Take the time to adjust whatever you need in Shavasana to be comfortable. Do you need support? A blanket beneath you or a blanket on top of you if you're chilly? Do you body temperature drops the longer we stay in Shavasana? So you sometimes need to be a little warmer, a jacket or a blanket. Support beneath your head and neck so the chin is lower than the forehead. Support beneath the thighs as needed so the low back can relax. Let the arms and legs be equidistant from the center line of the body. And just check in with yourself. What do you need to be at ease, to be comfortable and aligned right here, right now? Let the whole body release to the earth. Release the back body to the earth. Release the front body into the back body. Relax the legs. Relax the belly. Soften the skin of the belly and the muscles beneath. Find spaciousness in the mouth, cavity of the mouth, by letting the tongue relax in the floor of the mouth. Spaciousness in the mouth, and feel how that translates to spaciousness in the abdomen. Relaxing. Ease. Let the teeth be slightly parted. So relaxing the jaw as you do so. Let the lips be touching, not touching. Just barely touching. Lips are soft and full. Let the face be smooth as butter. Softening out any folds in the face, any lines of tension, wrinkles, just let the face be smooth. We hold different faces. We have a face that we meet people with in the public. Not needed here. Let that face go. We have a face for our families. Let that face go as well. We have a face for world affairs and our companies. Let that go here as well. Go inward. Eyes recede back. Ears recede back toward the back brain. Pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses. Feel the breath. Focus on the exhalation particularly. Inhale through the nostrils and then exhale through pursed lips as though breathing through a straw, allowing the exhalation to gently lengthen. If any tension arises, just go back to normal breathing. Breathe this way, exhaling through pursed lips like through a straw for the next few breaths. And then return to breathing through the nostrils. Just see if the breath has changed in any way. Notice without judgment. Stay focused on the breath. Let all else fall away. Watch the breath. And then allow the breath to deepen. Start to wiggle the fingers and toes, bring movement back to the body. Bend your knees. Roll onto your right side, support your head. Softly open your eyes. Gaze toward the floor. Use your hands to gently press yourself up to sitting. And return to our virtual circle. Camera on whenever possible so that you can be fully present here. Welcome back, welcome back. I have a funny little note on my screen that says, enter your search term. Are you guys seeing that too, or is it just at my end? You're not seeing it. It's covering my face. I don't need to see me. I just want to see you guys. I don't know what to do about that. Let me see if there's a way. Oh, there might be a way that I can fix that. Hang on. I have a couple other windows open. And maybe if I close them, maybe one of them is driving that. So it's not gone yet. Give me 1 second. So weird. Okay. Hopefully I don't close the window that is you guys. Yay, it went away. It was one of my other windows. I feel so happy about that. All right. What we focus on expands. What did you love in your Shavasana today? We would like to begin. Dawn, thank you.
I like that. Well, I'm thinking of Heidi now because I was like thanking the breath and very thankful for my breath, and I thanked it. It's different for me. I felt gratitude for my breath.
Dawn, this is so beautiful. I've been telling you guys about this app called Gratitude Rock Journal. It is rocking my life. It is rocking my world. I have my phone beside me in the morning, and I'm just, you know, checking the time. I check my Fitbit. I want to know how I slept. It makes me happy. Look, I slept well. And then my Gratitude Rock Journal is right there. And I don't always even mean to, but I'm like, let me just enter a few more things. And I'm there for half an hour. You know, I'm grateful for this and that and that. And I think about my day the day before, and I'm already grateful for things, and I'm not even out of bed. And Dawn, you know, that you're grateful for the breath doesn't come out of nowhere. That's something that you're being. That's something that you're practicing. That's who you are being right now. And so this is beautiful. You combine that deep practice of gratitude, not thoughts, not saying it, not meaning it, actually cellular. And if you're feeling it in Shavasana, it's cellular. Oh my goodness. So combining that with the depth of the practice of Shavasana, if you heard this, we could already go home and your marketing would change. You know, it's already such a different story that we would bring out there into the world. Thank you. Beautiful. And Heidi, boy, the gratitude going around. I don't always see the notes in the chat. You know, thank you for thinking of me, Dawn. I'm grateful for that and for you. Gratitude flowing around the room here. What a beautiful way to start our day. What we focus on expands. What did you love in your Shavasana today? Let's hear one more. Yvonne, thank you. And then Diane, we'll hear two more. Yvonne.
I was just grateful for the pause.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Just grateful.
Me too. Could you hear the difference between me now and before? Mm-hmm. This is why I do this practice, you know? And it came out of deep excitement. I've been, you know, putting together what we're doing today for hours and hours and hours, even though I've been working with this and doing it on the court for many, many years. And we've been teaching this in different ways, the essence of this throughout the year in the community. But the pause, whether it's because we've been doing busy work, because we're excited, because we've been engaged in something else, we pause, we can think, we be differently, we act differently, we get very, very different results, and we just get a different life. Thank you, Yvonne, a better one, right? Infinitely better. Thank you. Diane.
I noticed how peaceful it felt. And it was, like Yvonne had said, to a bit of a break. My sister just left this morning after being with me for a week. And it's kind of, I miss her already.
I feel that way about my daughter so often, you know, like we've spent so much intense time. And she's been with me. She's sometimes with her dad, but the last year and a half, she's been with me. And we don't leave this place that much, you know, right? So I love her to bits. And sometimes it's very, very intense. And then the moment she leaves, she went out the door the other day. She didn't tell me where she was going. She was going to get her hair cut. I'm like, Dina, where are you going? Are you going to be safe? Are you all right? I'm like, total mother hand. So, you know, I'm like, oh, I miss her. She's gone to get a haircut, you know. Deep appreciation for our lives and those in our lives. And then the pause, because sometimes our lives are very full And again, a real plug for starting your day with Shavasana. What if your day could feel like that from the outset? That's where my day started. Deep yoga practice and then Shavasana. And also I took you a little bit into pranayama, yoga breath work today. It can start there. It can start as simply as that. Inhale through the nostrils, exhale through pursed lips, as though breathing through a straw. When I first started teaching yoga many, many years ago, I taught a family yoga class. It was for mostly moms. Do we have any dads? Mostly moms and their kids. And I taught this to them and to many others. And they started putting a straw, because it would actually, I'd bring straws, you know, they would actually put a straw in their car. They would have one handy. They would give one to their kids. The kids loved it. The moms loved it. It changed everything. As our exhalation lengthens, the inhalation naturally lengthens of its own accord. And we breathe differently. When we breathe differently, we be differently. You know, when we're anxious, we breathe like, right? We change the breath. It changes our thoughts. It changes our stories. It changes our results. So this one simple technique, I don't know if I've even taught that in our Shavasanas in the morning. If we have before here, it's not been for a long, long, long time. I don't remember doing it here and I don't know why. So you can play with that through your week. And as the holiday season comes up, and a different holiday season for us, maybe depending on where you live than last year, and the holidays a little bit, you know, coming up, over the next couple of weeks, kind of different for all of us. So this is a very good technique you can use with you, with your clients, with your kids or parents or grandparents or relations or, you know, sisters. Yeah. Thank you, Diane. Beautiful, powerful break. Anything else wanting to be said as we begin here? All right. Thank you. So a couple of announcements to start today. Our next classes will be in January. Practical applications. And we have some date changes with practical applications and a few other things in order to serve you and in order to accommodate my own schedule that's changing. So like some, I just couldn't be there in ways that couldn't have been anticipated months ago. The world is changing so quickly, right? So our practical applications dates are January 6th, January 13th, January 20th and January 25th, right? And so January, and we will have that calendar out to you both next week. Yvonne's going to put the dates in the chat for you. And notice that January 20th is now a half day and January 25th is a new date. It's a Q&A. It's because universe willing, I'm on a plane the next day for the first time in almost 2 years. And so I would rather be with you while I'm still here with the internet that I know and trust here. I wanted to have a Q&A for you with practical applications. All right. So those are our next class is going to dovetail so well with what we're doing here. It's going to be our best practical applications ever, ever, ever as well. And our new calendar, it'll be in your inbox next week. I've laid out dates until the end of April. And again, in a rapidly changing world, I would rather lay out a chunk of dates that we can be reasonably sure of so that we don't shift them too much for you. And then we'll get more dates out for you, you know, probably into February and March. All right. So once we can lay them out and be reasonably certain that we're not going to be changing them too much on you. All right. Yvonne, I believe, can add the dates in the chat. They're also going to be added to our Facebook page, and again, in your inbox next week. And you can save the chat, by the way, at the end. So if you hit those three dots at the end of our call, if you save the chat, you'll have the dates that Yvonne's putting in. And yes, she's put in the half day times. Thank you. We always have that 12:30 till 4 for the half days.
Michelle?
Yes.
Sorry. Do you want me to put in all the dates or just practical applications?
Go ahead and put in the dates. I think they should work if you're able to, mm-hmm. just so that if they save the chat, then they'll have them really quickly if they want them right away. Sure. And then if everyone wants them right away, and then you also have them in the Facebook group, like I say, but then you'll have multiple ways to get these dates on the calendar. And again, you'll notice some of them have changed. We've done our best to serve you the best in these dates. All right. So check them all carefully and get these new dates onto the calendar. I just want to remind you too, this is our last class of the year. And so take some time for yourself. Take some time for yourself over the holidays, whatever these holidays are for you, whether it's Hanukkah, Christmas, a time when people buy stuff. I hope, well, it's not that for you guys, right? I doubt it. This is not, you know, not the kind of group you are. We might be buying stuff too, but you know, just a pause It's a beautiful time to pause and also create your vision for 2022. So give yourself time and space. We do that for you. We didn't always in this community. We used to have very intensive work right after Christmas until Marie told us not to. Thank you, Marie. So this is intentional. This community has grown by many people, both team and the people in the community, making a difference for you. So this was not always the way it was, but take space for yourself. And the other thing I want to mention is then next week, before you're taking that space, hopefully for yourself, whatever space you can take, recharge your batteries. Next week, and then into January, focus on getting out there and talking to people. This is a version of marketing. We're going to know so much more about what marketing is in next week and throughout January. Go out there and talk to people. Get in touch with as many people as you can. This is a marketing activity, and how you do that, we'll talk about it. This is going to set you up so well for expansive growth, expansive and fun growth, exponential growth for your company and your world for 2022. And also it's going to set you up phenomenally in ways we've never, ever done before for the high ticket virtual retreat, which is in February. I mentioned this last time, we moved the date for the high ticket virtual retreat back. I am actually going to be at, and I suggest that you take time out for yourself. I have not done so appropriately for quite a while after my summer. Understandably, I've been doing my best to find space and time, but I'm actually, universe willing, going to be at a week long yoga retreat, which I haven't done probably in 3 years. So I will not hold the high ticket virtual retreat in the middle of a yoga retreat. You're going to want the me that's going to come back at the end of that to teach you the high ticket virtual retreat. It is life changing for this community always. It's never not been. All right. So holiday, take time for yourself, but also this week and through January, get out there and talk to people and set yourself up well, both for the high ticket virtual retreat and for the new year. And then I want to share with you, I always tell you that whenever anybody has leapt into this community, we want to be, and any other leaps that anybody around you has taken, we want to gather that energy, don't we? We want to understand that because we want to be leaping in our own lives, if that makes sense to you. And maybe more so than before you heard it here, raise your hand. It's like, be in the midst of that leap energy. Yes, good. All right. So I just want to share with you, I've not yet crossed the T's nor dotted the I's. That happens tomorrow. But then I don't see you till January. And I was thinking, do I want to tell you this? But I really, really wanted to, but without telling you all the details about it, I'm in a conversation with two others tomorrow to finish off this deal. But I am making what is essentially going to be over the next couple of years, $1 million investment in my company. This is a huge leap. And I eat my own cooking. I do everything that I'm teaching you. This is what we do in this company. This is what I do in my personal life. It's why there's been so many leaps. My life is unrecognizable. This company is unrecognizable from a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. It's been better and better and more fun and more beautiful. And I'm continually taking leaps myself. But I want to tell you, this leap, this is the biggest I've ever made since I started this company, leaving university in 2007. You are in this community at exactly the right time. There's never, ever, ever been a better time to be in this community because I am taking my biggest leap ever, barring some fatal flaw that I find that I'm not expecting. But I would have waited till next week to tell you, but I can't wait till January, right? I wanted to share with you this leap. And so Quantum Leaps creates your future vision, which we talked about last time. I've been doing that for myself and my company and my personal life for hours and weeks. And I'm meeting with at least 5 different people to do this masterminding and creating that. So what I'm teaching you, that is what I'm doing. That is what moves the needle, right? Then also having a big why, which we did right before that. I got to tell you, I'm sharing with my partner, I guess, accountability partner that I'm going to be doing this leap with. I shared a document with her and I said, by the way, you're going to want to see this because I wrote out my why. I do everything that I suggest to you. And it's pages and pages long. And it's like, thing, 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 thing. And I just wrote it down because I was so bursting with it, but I couldn't help but write it down because I also want to know that for later. I also wrote down everything that my editor is saying, right? Because I want to know that. and so that I can transmit it in all the ways that I'm teaching. So everything that you are learning, these are the things that have shifted countless people's lives by now, right? In the work that I've done since 2007 and the work that this company has done. And it has rocked the world of so many people in this community and rocked the world, absolutely shifted lives, and including my own. So I couldn't help but share it. If I'm saying, and I've actually never shared in this way before in this community since it started in 2010. This is my biggest leap ever. I am so excited about 2022. And I'm so excited about the growth that's going to be happening in this community as a result. Never, ever, you guys are in the right place. Oh my goodness. If you already knew it, I can't say it strongly enough. Biggest leap ever, 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 ever. It's changed my heart rate until I made the decision. My Fitbit, recorded that. And then now it's coming back down again because I've made my decision. I'm crossing the T's, dotting the I's, and signing tomorrow. But, I still could find a fatal flaw. I doubt it. I've been investigating this. I spent my entire weekend on it. It's going to be resting through the weekend, but I couldn't help myself. And I was up till 11 o'clock at night, Saturday night. And all of this, you get this, that all of this transforms our lives in this community. So I couldn't help but share. Mic drop, yes. I wish I had like 3 days to talk to you about this. I'm so excited, right? And that's the nature of a leap, right? So what is it that you're excited about? I want this for you. What are you excited about for your 2022? If it doesn't feel like that for you, then change it until it does. I'm so excited. I'm hopping out of my seat. I just so excited for what we're doing, what I'm doing in the company and the investments I'm making and the growth that's going to happen then with all the growth that's going to happen for this community. And I'm so excited about today. We're on another new, like I say, we've never ever gathered this together before. And the trickiest part is figuring out exactly which pieces I want to teach you, because I really want to teach you a month's worth in a day. So I'm doing also another thing that I teach, go slowly to go quickly. I'm slowing myself down because I don't want them like on your mark, get set, go. Because if I just give you a bunch of things that you can't hear, what's the point? All right. So thank you, Heidi. Thank you. I'm so glad you're glad that I shared, And I've never ever shared a leap that I remember in this community in that way. I've always asked you guys to leap, but hey, it's the biggest one I want to share with you. All right. Just a bit of how are anything bubbling up wanting to be said, because I'm just like, I want to take a breath here, or you won't even hear what's next, or I won't even be able to say it. I'm just like, I need a breath myself. Anything else wanting to be shared before we move into some logistics, what the day is going to look like and dive in? Good to go. Okay, let's take a collective breath. I know I want one. Inhale. Exhale, let it go. And again, inhale. Exhale, let it go. All right. And thank you, Marnie says. Yeah, that's so exciting. Diane says, Michelle, thank you for sharing with us. Marnie says, excited to share the journey with you, Michelle. Thank you for that. Thank you. And was there already like also, yes, Heidi, a mic drop from Yvonne. Thank you for sharing this awesome quantum news with us. I love basking in it with you and all of us, Michelle. Again, that's why it's so important to share our leaps, right? You have a leap, share it. Get on a connection call with somebody in this community. And if you don't feel like you're having leaps, then where are they? Get on a connection call saying, I'm not feeling leaps. How do I find them? Because they're there. Right? And then if they're not taking your breath away, go back to quantum leaps. What's your vision? Have you been hitting this, aiming for the ceiling? Like we learned with Heidi. Thank you, Heidi, at quantum leaps. If it's not taking your breath away, are you just aiming for the ceiling? That's so much harder than aiming for the stars, because it doesn't feel good. We don't bring all of ourselves to it, right? So having a big why, quantum leaps, and what we're doing today are all fit together like hand in glove in ways that we've never, ever done before. We've never had this strong a start for our year, for our community, ever, ever, ever. So they fit hand in glove. All right. Just the retreat times. Thank you for posting them, Yvonne. This is very approximate for today. I don't promise this at all, but I just want you to know what's in my head, that there are breaks. They probably won't be as long as listed. Well, the 5-minute one will be at least 5 minutes. All right. They may not be as long as listed, depending on what happens, but just so you have some idea of the rhythm of our day, posted in the chat. So about 75-minute blocks, a break for lunch, so you can take care of your energy so that you can actually assimilate and make use of what it is you're going to be learning. And then the outline of what you're going to be learning, these things will make more sense once we dive into it. And thank you, Yvonne, for all of those postings for you guys. Opportunity everywhere. We have opportunity, and thank you, Marie. We have opportunity everywhere. There's people everywhere that we can serve. It's so easy. We're going to talk about our client's story. What is that? We're going to go to some tactical pieces. I don't often use that word, or I haven't in the past. It sounds like war to me, or it used to. It doesn't sound that way as much to me anymore. I think the reason for that is it just feels nuts and boltsy before, and it's an accurate word. So hope you don't mind that word, like just tactical pieces. What are the nuts and bolts of the pieces that we need to do that marketing? Then we need a plan, and then we need to do it. We need to dive in, all right? So that's the essence of what we're going to be doing today. And Yvonne's posted it in the chat. And thank you, Yvonne, for all those posts. And then our aims. And Yvonne, hold off until, you can post the aims in the chat. I just don't want you sort of reading ahead and then not hearing my words. That's the only reason I'm worried about Yvonne posting in the chat. But then you can relax. You'll know it's there. I've got it on the page in front of me. Yvonne's looking at the same page. That's why she can post this. Okay. So here's our aims, and they're huge. And any aim that we miss, because the first time we've done this, don't worry about it. We'll pick it up at practical applications, all right? So you will get to all these pieces. Know what marketing is and why it matters. I didn't even know what it was. Years after running my company, I didn't really still get it, you know? What is it anyway? Why does it matter? Understand how much time I should be spending on marketing, and why I would want to do that. And I can promise you, it's more than anyone here probably is spending ever. Right? Know that marketing can be easy and fun. We might not even know what it is. It's just that word that other people do. And right, understand what I really need to do to market and grow my company, because marketing is about growing my company. Why wouldn't I want to do that? It's about helping people, right? Decide what kinds of marketing activities I want to do right away. Hint, I've already given you a suggestion. Go talk to people next week. It's a marketing activity, right? And put marketing on my calendar and actually do it. To bring cash into your business and help the people you're meant to serve. Understand the relationship between marketing and sales. For me, for years, like I told you last time, as I was reminding you to that we had marketing and sales, marketing a story coming up, I always just heard it as marketing and sales. I heard it as kind of one word. I didn't really understand. Intellectually, I got it, but I didn't get it on the court in practice and what that meant for my company. So understanding the relationship between marketing and sales and why sales comes first. I mentioned that last time. I didn't talk very much about it. It's why we've had sales. We've had high ticket virtual retreat for years in this company. And we only created marketing a story later on because we really wanted to make sure that everybody knew sales comes first, but you're always doing both of them at the same time. So how does that work? Sales comes first, but you're doing both of them at the same time. What does that even mean, Michelle? All right. And then of course, this is marketing a story, understanding marketing as story. And don't worry about getting it, like it's in the chat there. You'll have the recording as well. So don't worry about like writing as fast as you can. You can save the chat at the end. If you forgot to, ask somebody else who saved the chat and they'll get it to you, all right? Understanding marketing as story. So what are the most important stories I need to be telling about my company? How do I find the words to say it? Where do I find people I'm meant to serve? And what does this have to do with story? And then get on the court and actually do it. If all of this is intellectual knowledge, it's one of the things that drove me crazy at the university. It's one of the reasons I left. All of these, and Marnie's like, yes, I get it. All these amazing ideas at the university. There are smart and heart-centered people there doing phenomenal work. The people that I was working with and in around my field and people in other fields as well that I, you know, whose offices were beside me and that I would, do work with for years. Great ideas. It's like, what if we went out in the world and implemented at least one of them? You know, at least one of them. The people that I still know in academia, that's what they're doing. They're putting it all on the core. They're getting it out into the world. The system's not designed for that. They're going uphill against the grain in the system to try to actually actualize those ideas. So what if we can, you know, actually get on the court and do these things? Otherwise, what's the point? All right. So those are our aims for today. And I just want to hear from one or two of you, because that's a lot of just me telling you things. What's one thing that you heard? And if you don't remember, you can scroll up in the chat. That's okay. One thing that you heard that stays with you. One thing that lights you up. One thing that you notice. Just one thing. Just let's just hear from one or two of you. And why? I know you don't know what all these things mean yet. One thing that lights you up that you can take on for yourself. Yeah, Marie.
It's not a thing. It's the energy of it all. So what I'm noticing is like, so I've had my business for 5 years, and as I've gotten more aligned and more focused, there are more opportunities. I get more excited about serving people. I have more energy to actually offer things, and it gets easier all the time. So I'm having a ton of fun. I'm drawing in more people. So I don't know whether that fits the outline or not, but all I can say is once you find alignment and purpose, it's incredible what happens.
Marie, thank you for that. That's why I'm like bubbling. I'm so excited about sharing this with you. This moves the needle. This lets us live on purpose. It lets us actually actualize what we did at Quantum Leaps, create your future story. We're on the fork, actually doing it, actually living it, and actually living that why from our having a big why retreat a couple of days ago. And thank you for that, Marie. I love that, because you can feel in Marie's energy, this actually can be fun. This actually is opening up. This is like a more and more, the further, like 5 years, the further I go in, the more it's like opening. That's, you know, I could feel it in Marie's energy. It's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing, Marie. Let's hear from one more, one thing that lights you up, even if you don't know what it means yet. Marnie, thank you.
I was kind of laughing at it can be easy and fun, because I have that internal story that's going, oh, marketing, that's all this social media stuff and blah, blah, blah. But I'm slowly, resistantly coming around to the concept that, you know, reaching out to people and giving them opportunities opening my doors to things that I might not have considered, like what Marie just said. You can't see the potential until you get out there and start opening the doors and see what people ask for. So I'm looking forward to that.
Brilliant. Thank you. I love that, Marnie. And so, so great. It means we're right on track with where we're going today, because our first part today is, and it will dovetail with these aims, and it will dovetail with what I said, opportunities everywhere and so on, but it might not fit together like hand, like, how do I say this? What our aims are, we're going to get there through the course of the day, not necessarily in that order, right? And so part one this morning is creating and empowering stories about marketing. Shifting our framework and our inner story about marketing. And Marnie, you took us right there, right where my notes go next. Thank you. So, Marnie already answered my next question in my notes on my page without me even asking. Thank you so much, Marnie, by talking about what you're excited about. What? It could be easy and fun. You know, I'm starting to, but I'm resistant. I'm not sure. What do you think are some of the myths about marketing, or even just your beliefs about marketing that you think are so, but I'm telling you they're myths, all right, that we want to dispel? What are your feelings about marketing? That's like, when I say that word, it's like the icky side of it. Like, let's suss that out. Let's get that editor out. Because we, you know, if we don't suss that out at the beginning, like Marnie is already taking us, then it's all just going to stay as head knowledge and none of it will sink in anywhere. Make sense? All right. So what are some of the things that you've either heard about marketing? Marnie, you've got a bunch of them, I bet, right? Thank you for raising your hand first.
Well, to me, it sort of symbolizes the manipulation that we've seen in many of the bigger kind of companies and stuff, where they're selling a concept that has nothing to do with what they really offer.
Got it. Okay. So marketing. And again, if you've heard some of these things before, and even if you haven't, it's circulating out there in the world. So better to know it consciously, so it doesn't unconsciously sneak in inside us and do its dirty work in the dark, that story that we pick up from out there in the air, or that sometimes it's things that we've seen too. Like, I'm not saying that some things don't happen out there. It's not what we're going to learn here, right? Marketing is manipulation. Marketing is those big companies. Marketing is doing, you know, exploitive things. And marketing is like, you know, and related to that, you know, I hear in the subtext of what you're saying, kind of this sleazy language or something like that to, you know, get people to do stuff. I don't know. Like, so, man, why would we do that then? We might as well leave our day today, right? If that's what it was about, right? And if we think that's what it is, we will never be able to do the actions that to help the people we're meant to help, right? So what else? Thank you, Marty. Great jump start for this. What else? What else about marketing that's like, or marketing, oh, I just not so sure about it, or marketing, what else? What have you heard? Yeah, Heidi, thank you.
That, and we did this with me in our prior gathering, but what stops me is this idea that there's this outer body of knowledge and expertise that I don't have, and I need to rely on someone else to guide me in foreign hostile territory. And if I don't get it right, or I don't follow their direction or somehow figure it out, wow, gonna do harm, waste a lot of money, waste a lot of time, deceive a lot of people, exploit and get money from people who can't afford it. And it's gonna be a bad thing if I don't get this right, and I'll have wasted a lot of resources in trying to get it right. And what if I don't have the right person? It's outside of me. And that was the guidance in our prior, you know, and everyone felt my energy siphoning off my body when I was like, I have to post. Oh, the wail of despair. And as opposed to, well, no, who do I need to be right now? Which felt much better.
So. Right. Thank you so much for that. Oh my goodness. I mean, just replay that piece between what we heard from Marty and what we've heard from Heidi. Can you think, like, why would we even do this stuff then, right? And then our companies stall or go backwards, or we have a hobby, not a business, that is not sustainable, and we can't help the people we're meant to help. If you've heard even one piece or felt one piece of what either Marty or Heidi said just now, raise your hand. If it's ever been inside you, or you've heard it, or yes, tons of hand raises and nods and yes around the room. So marketing is something outside of me. Marketing is something somebody else knows. Marketing is something bad and evil, but I've got to learn to do it right. And if I don't do it right, then everything is going to fail, and I'm going to waste all this money, and it's, you know, it's going to deceive people, and I'm going to exploit, and, you know, oh my goodness, for a room full of heart-centered people who are really, is there anybody in this room who's not trying to help people, who would rather that people just go down the tubes? Please raise your hand. Just like, this is such a heart-centered group, really working to transform lives, really mission-driven. That's who arrives here. That's who comes, right? And I know that of you. So if that's the case, can you hear it? Who we are on the one hand, and who we're working to be, doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, right? Well, then we think that we might make this massive mistake. What we think of is marketing. And if it's like, if that's getting the word out about our companies, no wonder so many heart-centered entrepreneurs, their companies fail, right? I heard a horrible stat earlier this week. It's like 1 in 10 companies don't make it to year 10. No, sorry, 9 out of 10 don't make it. That's frightening. And then if you think of the heart-centered folks in there, sometimes it's like, if we have these marketing myths, if we have these ideas about what it is inside of us, it will block us from those actions. Because if you'd rather, you know, which would you rather be? Would you rather be a good aligned person doing good in the world, or, you know, get your business out there? If it turns into an either or, which one are you going to do? I know that part of who you are, or you wouldn't be here. So this marketing a story is crucial, because when we can align and know that who we are and that big self that we are and that person who is helping and serving is completely aligned with marketing a story and understanding how to do that and let it be fun and let it be easy and own it. Heidi's about this, about somebody else, and I don't know about it, and that, you know, they're going to teach me, but maybe they're kind of doing something bad. And, you know, when we can align that and actually understand what marketing is and what and how it works in your company, so you can actually meet and get to talk to the people that you're meant to serve and have and be in conversation with them. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Make sense? That's why this is so important, why I'm so excited we're doing this day together. And then marketing, not the same as sales, they're intimately connected, but sales is, hey, we've got those people in front of us. Now let's have a conversation and let's see who we're meant to serve. Let's see if there's a fit. If there's not a fit, that's fine. They'll go, somebody else will help them. If there's a fit, great. Let's do the best we can to help them. All right. So I'm just trying to see if I wrote down some of these myths myself, but man, you just nailed it. Yeah, you know, the way I wrote down, and it dovetails with what both of you are saying, is like marketing is what other people do. It's either mysterious or it's power over, or it's, you know, dangerous even. I heard that too, really, right? And it's one more myth that I wrote down that I didn't hear, that because we're probably so immersed in this myth that we don't even know that it's there, that marketing is a sideline in our company. That marketing is just that thing over there that maybe we do once or sometimes, or, you know, we did before, and then we go to the real work of our company. That will tank our companies. If we're not meeting the people that we're meant to serve, we can't have a company. We have a hobby, right? So thinking of it as a sideline, it's essential, isn't it? If you get, even just from this piece that we've done so far, meeting the people that maybe I could help is essential to my company. I really, really want to know how to do that. Did we get there? How essential this is? Raise your hand. I'm seeing nods. It's like if we haven't heard everybody getting this, that it's essential. Yeah, thank you. All right, you got it. Okay. Oh, there's another marketing myth that I want to share with you. So it was my breakfast. I was so busy creating these notes for you, expanding and adding stuff and taking stuff out. And I didn't get a chance to have my breakfast. So give me a chance. And you take a chance to like, go ahead, have a sip of water, take care of yourself for a moment. Organic smoothie, yummy. All right. Another myth. There's a bunch of rich people with money out there somewhere. I need to find them so I can sell them stuff, so I can make, or the heart center way, so I can make them an offer. The people I know and the people around me, they don't have money, they can't pay, or they aren't right. So there's this pool of people somewhere out there that I don't have access to. Kind of like the way Heidi talked about that the marketing itself, there's that information that other people know about that I don't know about, that I better get it right, but it's really slippery and dangerous, right? And could even be, you know, awful and harm people, right? And then the other part of it is there's those people out there. And if I just knew where they were all sitting, there's a bunch of people that aren't around me, then my company could flourish. But I don't know where, you know, I don't know where those rich people hang out. If you've ever even unconsciously had that thought, it's like, oh, you know, maybe I do really think that because it's not the ones around me. And if you've ever had that thought, I've seen a lot of nods, right? Already raising that. Oh, these marketing myths are killer. All right. So Anything else bubbling up now that we've, like, let's suss them all out at the beginning. Don's hand just shut up. I got more for you. Go ahead, Don.
I'm hearing a theme with these myths about it being about separation, something really, like you're saying, about it being outside of ourselves. But if we are in alignment, I heard marketing differently as you were speaking, that how marketing is different from sales and how it can be fun too, because it's really everything that we would do. It's being here. It's talking to the neighbor. It, wherever we are, like you say, the opportunities, the stories are everywhere. So if we can align with what we're doing and our big dream and get in alignment, we're good. We're good. Yes. Go out and have fun.
Yes, thank you, Dawn. If we only got this far to get it in our day, what it, and you actually heard what everyone is saying here, what you guys are saying, what I feel the energy in the room creating, that this would be life-changing for your company. Do you get that? This is a groundbreaking. This is world-changing. Heidi, go ahead. Thank you, Dawn. Beautiful. Yes. Oh, and I just want to underline too, separation. You know, when we do this well, it's not about separation. It's about relationship. It's about connection. Now, will that be with everybody? When we're actually doing our work, we're not going to be calling to everybody. In fact, we might piss some people off. Some people might not like us. Because we've got something to say. And if we want everyone to like us and hear our message, what happens to our companies? Can't get there from there because you're actually saying something. I will tell you that likely, this is a ridiculous example, but it came up in me. I'm trusting it. I'm hoping you're going to hear me with this. Members of the KKK will probably not like your message. Am I right? Like, not everyone will hear you. In fact, when they hear what you have to say, they will not like you because you're trying to bring connection. You're trying to bring like joy on the planet. You're trying to say that people are, because I know that you believe in people. You don't think of like that huge power over that they have and the deep racism and that, you know, like horrendous, right? So they won't like what you have to say. And there are others that won't like you what you have to say either. But the people that can hear you, that will hear you. It's about deep, deep connection. It's about a deep, deep dive. It's the opposite of separation. Thank you, Dawn. Beautiful. Heidi.
The piece that you said, Michelle, that I have to say is still like the two cells, like that the people I really need to speak with feel far away or hard to find, hard to reach. I know they're out there, but it's a small, not tiny, but a small subset of the population. And when I'm in a room, I know there's somebody, but the number, I'm not speaking to the general, stand in your power kind of message for the world. And, you know, yeah, the KKKs are easily like, no, we don't believe in that togetherness thing. That's an easy one. But when I have something very specific, it does feel like, whoa, how of the marketing to be the magnet to attract the individuals I need out of the needle in the haystack. Where we should be in the haystack.
And yeah, I love that.
Challenge.
I love that. Thank you, Heidi. So pulling out another one of those, I'm going to call them myths, right? It's like, these people, they're very far away. They're very hard to find. It's just a small subset. And you know, it's, you know, I want to be that magnet, but it's like searching for a needle in a haystack, and, you know, and you can feel the energy in the room, but it's going down. But I'm glad for, like, I don't mind that. I'm glad for that. Thank you for your honesty, Heidi, because it's already inside us, isn't it? And it stops us from doing what we want to do and need to do so that we can actually help people. So thank you for sussing that out. And we've got pieces that I'm not going to go deeply into that here, because through our day, that's going to shift and change like dramatically through some of the pieces we're going to do. All right. But what if I could think of it differently than that? What if I What if it could be fun and easy? What if I know so much more about it than I think? And what if it's not a bunch of rich people over there who have the money to, you know, that it's something so much closer to you and so much more innate to you than you know. Makes sense? At least theoretically, that could be. Yeah. Okay. Really good. I'm seeing lots of nods around the room. Thank you. All right. So I want to share four truths about marketing. I call them truths. You could call them empowering stories if you want, but to me, these are truths. These are just like, this is how it is when we look at marketing this way, when we're engaged in marketing a story. Truth number one. So we sussed out all those like, what we're actually thinking about marketing, and then here are the truths. Truth number one, we want and need to spend time on marketing. This should be a big part of our lives. And then given what we think it is, our energy sinks and we have no energy for it. And then we would just want to quit, right? That's why it's so important to transform the story around marketing. But I want to share with you first, you know, I this was a game changer for me. This was something, and I want to give credit to Peak Potentials. You guys, most of you know, I did a lot of training with them early on. I started when I first left university. I trained with them for nearly 3 years. Deep dive training, 25 courses with them, many of them week long, crazy stuff that we did. And one of them was a 5-day course called the World's Greatest Marketing Seminar. I did it twice. What I want to share with you, I was looking at my notes from 10 years ago as I was preparing for this, right? And I'm like, I want things that are more implementable and easier and you can do than I learned in 10 days of the World's Greatest Marketing Seminar when I start in our day today. That's my aim, right? So, but this one piece was life-changing for me when I heard it. And implementing it, I'm still in process doing that, but getting better and better at this. Here's what, I've asked Yvonne, or did I ask Yvonne? Actually, maybe Yvonne, if you can find this under Marketing Truths, number one, from Peak Potentials. Did I say, can you post that in the chat? If you can, I would love this. Don't post it yet though. What most entrepreneurs do, there's three components to our companies. There's our product or our service, that thing that we are offering. Like this is it, for instance, right? Then there's operations. There's like all the structural things that we need are, you know, the software that we buy, the team, like all that stuff that we need to do to run our companies. And then there's marketing and sales. What most entrepreneurs do, anyone, if you're able to cut and paste that into the chat so they can see it visually, they spend about 25% of their time on the product. They're actually doing that thing, like, you know, teaching you guys, or if it's a product, like creating that product and so on. Operations, about 65%. That's, you know, running the daily running of the company and buying the software and all that kind of stuff, like making the company operate. And marketing, sales, they spend about 10% of their time. This is what I learned over 10 years ago, Peak Potentials. And I'm like, oh, and I've been working to do this ever since. Do I do this perfectly? No. But do I know what the aim is? Because these numbers are backwards. Our product, 25%, most people have it right. Operations should be 10%. Don't spend all your time like doing the operations of your company. Marketing and sales, 65% of your time. 65% of your time. And then for most entrepreneurs, when we think about marketing, we, you know, as that, we're like, oh my goodness, kill me now, let me quit, right? Or let me go back to what most people do, but then I'm struggling and I don't, it's not going well for me and I don't know why. And then I just quit later, or I get discouraged, or I work double hard. These numbers for me in 2009, I think this is when I first encountered them, were life-changing, right? We want to be spending, this should be a big part of our lives. And it's not just a once and done. We create systems and structures. So we're doing this all the time, all the time, all the time. And again, when we think of it in this just essential, basic way, I'm going to go meet people who are excited about what it is that I do. And maybe I can help and I'll transform their lives. Isn't that connected with our big why? Isn't that connected with our quantum leaps, creating our future story? Doesn't it make sense if we could figure out how to do this, that we would want that? That these numbers should be what we want. Because marketing and sales in very simple form is like chatting with people that maybe we can help, having a conversation to see if we can help them, them getting excited because we can actually help them, and then starting the help. If that makes more sense to you than it used to, raise your hand. Thank you. These numbers alone, worth the price of admission. life-changing when we implement them. Truth number one, we need to spend time on marketing. Should be a big part of our lives. Truth number two. Now, why would we want to spend this time on marketing and sales? I already said it, you know, don't we want to meet the people that we can help and then go help them? That's also fun. I mean, it's really fun to be helping somebody up level in our area, in that thing that's our blessing. And if it's not, we want to shift that as well. Got tired somehow, got burned out, tired, right? But it ought to be. We're doing this for a reason, right? So truth number two. So why would we want to spend this time on marketing and sales? I just heard this quote this week and I was like, oh my goodness. This is from Jay Abraham. He's like, he's been called the $21.7 billion man, highest paid marketing consultant. And I've only done a little bit with him. I've worked with him more with his students, right? People who've worked with him. But the guy knows a ton about marketing. And I love his opening position about marketing. And you might want to close your eyes for this. This is what he has to say about marketing. If you have a product that delivers value, you have a moral obligation to reach as many people as you can. Let me say that again. If you have a product that delivers value, you have a moral obligation to reach as many people as you can. That's marketing. I'd love to hear a couple ahas from his words. Dawn.
This is bubbling up in me. And again, it's about what Heidi said, because it connects to that. Everyone in this room knows someone who could use your services. Everyone knows someone who has an autistic child. And if you're in a room with any person, even from that perspective, right? Someone knows someone. There's someone out there that knows someone. And I think it's coming from a place that we all have. We're all here, like you say, Michelle, that we're all here because we have something to give in the form of service.
Thank you, Dawn. Beautiful. Everyone knows someone. There's somebody right beside you. We'll do more with this, the high ticket virtual retreat, as we start to talk about sales. But here, talking about marketing, actually meeting those people, what if they're right in front of you? What if they're right around you? You know, 6 degrees of separation we talk about in the world now, right? You have something that is precious and valuable and actually transforms people's lives. Can you see how this thinking is the antidote to this? But marketing is slimy. Marketing is awful. Marketing might do harm. Marketing might, like, it's the opposite. I want to learn everything I can about marketing. He says it's a moral, we have something that delivers value. We have a moral obligation to reach as many people as we can. And so we fail. So we don't do it right. So we even maybe spend some money wrongly, or so we, you know, so like, doesn't it start to become a whatever? Somebody's hurting right now. Remember I said in the next week and through January, go talk to people. There's somebody hurting right now. Not only for them, but for you. Don't you want to help them? Doesn't it feel good to help them? Aren't we on this planet to help each other? What if you make a mistake? What if you don't do it right? What if somebody gets upset? What if you're right? Oh, well. Oh, well. If you have a product that delivers value, you have a moral obligation to reach as many people as you can. Truth number two, marketing is a moral obligation. And for heart-centered entrepreneurs, it's a really wonderful antidote to, oh, it's sleazy, or oh, it's outside me, or, you know, you're a heart-centered people. We are, you know, heart-centered. We're trying to help people here. We are helping people. We're working to help people. It's like, well, yeah, I'll only help these three, but the fourth, they could go and just whatever, you know? Is that the kind of person that we are, that you are, that you want to be? Don't we want to reach as many people as we can? That's marketing. All right. Who wouldn't want to do that? We're here as up. You're a natural uplifter. If you're listening to my words right now, here in the call or in the recording, that's who you are, aren't you? If you know that about yourself, you're a natural uplifter. You're here doing your best to help other people on the planet. Raise your hand if you know that about yourself. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hands raised around the room. Good. All right. So truth number two, marketing is a moral obligation. Gets rid of all those editors, all that editor stuff and the myths. A lot of it, doesn't it? Truth number three, marketing is easy when you know how to do it. Marketing is easy when you know how to do it. We've got this, got to market online. It's expensive. You know, in 2007, when I left university and I spent $10,000 or $20,000 building my website and my logo and my, you know, all the things that I love my, I'm very grateful to my early mentors and I didn't know anything. And I started out and I built all that stuff, right? That website, it was a labor of love and 9 months of work. And, you know, it's marketing, right? It's getting the word out there. Brought me zero clients. My company grew like crazy, but it wasn't from that, you know? So marketing can be easy and fun when we know how to do it and when we even know what it is. We'll learn more about this at Practical Applications. This will dovetail with our opening of first day of Practical Applications, I believe. Start close in. We'll dive in at Practical Applications further into that, but start close in. Most people build their companies backwards. It took me 9 months when I started to build my website, to create the logo, to create the, you know, the branding, the colors and all that stuff. I'm not saying that's not important. But, you know, we rebranded this company in 2017. We rebranded again a couple of years ago, and did some tweaks on it, right? But we stayed with a whole, with a brand that didn't work, with colors that didn't work, with what online wasn't even anything like what we were doing. It didn't stop the company from growing at all. Because that's not where the marketing was happening. We start close in. And then what we, and by close in, I mean, there's a person right in front of you, just what Dawn was saying. We start close in and we learn from that. And then by the time we get to those websites and Facebook ads and whatever it is that we're doing, all that stuff that we're scared of, the social media, the stuff we're scared of, we're so much better prepared because we've been on the ground. We've been close in. We know how to talk to a real live person. Why would we ever think that, for instance, a Facebook ad, I've seen people like lose their shirts on Facebook ads, for instance. I'm not saying they're bad things. But if we can't talk to the person in front of us and first have them be interested in what it is we're doing because we can actually help them and then have a conversation, have them leap in, why would we think that a Facebook ad or a social media post or whatever, when we can't even see them and how they're reacting and who they are, would work? Doesn't mean we can't experiment with that and play with that early on, but we want to start close in. And when we do that, easy, low tech, pick up the phone and call somebody, you know, go to a networking meeting and chat with them. And this again will dovetail with where we're going to start with Practical Applications. We'll give you more ways of doing that and how it works and how it can be easy and fun. But start low tech, start with people in front of you. If you're going to be able to help the world, start in your own, can be virtual neighborhood now. They might be across the world from you, but you get like a person with two eyes, a nose, and a mouth that you can help, right? The other thing is marketing is easy when you know how to do it. Marketing is something you already know how to do. It's innate in you. We just want to add a little bit of conscious knowledge of it and some refined practices, but it's not something that Heidi described so well as foreign to me. It's out there. It's those other people. It's not that. I want to say that for you, as heart-centered entrepreneurs or whatever it is you call yourself, like, you know, working practitioner who helps people, like, you know, whatever your word is for it, all right? As visionary messengers and whatever your word is for what it is you do. Marketing is something you already know how to do. At its heart, it's talking to people to see if you can help them. If you've ever talked to somebody, maybe even when you were a kid, to see if you could help them because your friend fell in the playground and because you're heart-centered, you want to help them. If you've ever talked to somebody because maybe you thought you could help them outside of entrepreneurship, even raise your hand. You tried to help somebody once. That's marketing. It's like, hey, your knee is scraped. Can I get the teacher? Can I put a Band-Aid on it? Weren't you that person? You know? Were you the one who was like beating up people at the playground? If you were, that's okay too. We can work with that, all right? Don't worry if you were, all right? But it's not who this work tends to attract. It's natural to you to help people and to see that they're hurting and to want to help them and talk to them. It comes naturally to you. And Heidi, I see your smiles. You smiling too, Don. It's like, oh, it's not out there. Seeing how I can help, reaching out and having conversations. If you've ever had a conversation before, raise your hand. Thank you. Like, you're not even doing it because it's like, come on, Michelle. But I'm asking you to raise your hand because like silly is also memorable. And when those marketing myths like rear their ugly head, right? Because it's something outside us that's told us that, we'll remember. So if you've had a conversation with someone before, raise your hand. What do you know? You were marketing already, right? Thank you. All right. And listening to people. Well, that's huge for marketing. The slimy schmarmy stuff that we're so afraid of doesn't come from a heart-centered place. So they need to learn how, if they're a schmarmy kind of person, they need to try to learn how to be like the people in this community to do it well. Isn't that funny? Like, and let me give you the example of like the used car salesman that, you know, tried to sell me the used car and he didn't hear anything of what mattered to me or what I wanted or what was important to me. So he didn't do very well in either the marketing or the sales, right? So it entails listening. If you've ever tried to be a good listener, even once in your life, raise your hand. Look, these are skills that are innate to you. All right. Marketing is easy when you know how to do it. And it comes naturally to us when that's the people we are. All right. I said, see, already the structure I gave you until quarter after, it's going to be probably more like 11:30 for this block because I want to finish off a couple of other pieces. All right. But you got the idea of it. Right? I just wanted to give you a rhythm of how it's sort of going. We'll take a couple breaks. We'll have a break in the middle. All right. One more piece. And also, you know about communication, and we bust some myths about this in other parts of our year. Just because you've mirrored somebody's words doesn't mean that you've actually heard. Has anybody ever parroted your words back to you and you want to hit them? Like, it's not about parroting, right? Yes. But actually mirroring somebody's, Yvonne knows that so well, she's laughing, right? But parroting is not the same as mirroring somebody's words. Dana came to me when she's a kid and she's, you know, hit her head and she's crying. It's like, mommy, it hurts. And I was not, I don't know about you, but I was not the kind of mom that said, well, buck up, stop crying. Well, it's not in me, right? I said, oh, sweetie, it hurts. Tell me where it hurts. Can I kiss it better? Isn't that natural to us? So I was just mirroring her with my words. And I just said to her, mommy, it hurts. I'm like, oh, sweetie, does it hurt? That is the highest level of marketing, by the way. Y'all know this. Because if Dana came to me running, she hit her head in the playground and she's, oh, mommy, it hurts, and she's crying. I don't say, well, is there pain in your body somewhere? Like, would she hear me the same way? If she came to me and she said, mommy, it hurts. I said, oh, sweetie, does it hurt? Isn't she going to hear me better? Have you ever done that? Like, if you just, naturally picked up somebody else's words because you hurt them. That is the best of the best of the best of marketing. If you're starting to feel like you know more about marketing than maybe you thought, raise your hand. That you're natural at this even. All right. Thank you. Yay. All right. Yay. We're getting there. All right. And also I learned a new language this week. And that's about, it's a book from the 90s. I can't remember the title, but it's about dolphins versus sharks. And there are shark entrepreneurs and dolphin entrepreneurs. Shark entrepreneurs, all they care about is themselves. All they care about usually is the money for themselves. Right. And then there are the dolphins. The dolphins, they're the team players. The dolphins are trying to help people. The dolphins, it's really great to be around dolphins because have you ever made a mistake before? You know, as entrepreneurs, we make mistakes, right? The sharks are going to go, rawr, 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 right? The dolphins are going to go, oh, wow, you made a mistake. You know, it's like, that's okay. We'll work it out together because they're all about win, 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 right? So if you see yourself as a shark, raise your hand. It's like, it's not who this work attracts, right? If you see yourself as a dolphin, you're really aimed at win, win, win. You really want to help people. You know that we want to play together in the same pool, raise your hand. Thank you. And so again, that's the same. That's the best kind of marketing, because marketing is really about helping people. And when we're coming from that place, it's just so much easier to market. The sharks have to try to masquerade as, or I don't know what, you know, they could, like, there are sharks who have built good businesses. I don't know how to do that. So I can't teach you that. Right. But we've got a room full of dolphins. And for that, marketing is easy for dolphins, because you're really actually trying to help people. You're really actually wanting to listen to what they say. You really want to know where they're hurting and if and how you can help. The best of the best of marketing is that. And I heard them called, was it ethical sharks or something like that? No, enlightened sharks. Right? They're the ones who know that if they help you, they will get what they want after all. And so they'll try to help you, right? So it's not that we can't play with sharks sometimes as dolphins, right? But then there's also the carp. They're the ones that the sharks eat, you know? So sometimes we end up, we'd be worried that we're going to turn into carp. We're going to get eaten by the sharks. But then I heard this from an amazing entrepreneur. He said, you know, the only ones, and I think he got it from the book, the only ones that the sharks fear are the dolphins. Because the dolphins, if a shark comes around, like they're not going to let that shark win, basically, right? They're not going to allow that to happen on their court. So if you feel like you are better suited to marketing than you ever, ever knew before, in our first block, just truthfully raise your hand. Hands lifting up around the room. Thank you. Fantastic. All right. Truth number four. Marketing can be easy. Truth number three, marketing from truth. Truth number four, marketing can be super fun. Marketing can be super fun. I just need to know how it works. And I want to be able to refine it and systemize it and make it conscious, right? You already have these skills. How do I actually apply them, right, in entrepreneurship? And we'll talk about some of those nuts and bolts in part three, all right, how we do that. But really, I want you to know that it's about play. It really is playful. The best marketing is playful. Hey, I see what works. I do more of that. I try out some stuff. Kids try out stuff all the time. It's like, let's play this game. Oh, it's not so fun. Let's play this other game instead, right? Let's try skipping. Oh, I like that, but I like hopscotch even more. What would make it even more fun? Let's try this. Oh, more people are coming to play now because it's really fun, right? So it can be super fun. And it's one of the things we want to do is have something that actually works, that's systemized. And for the vast majority of people in this room and for all of us ongoing, that place to play is with people with two eyes, a nose, and a mouth, and go talk to them. It always, always starts there, right? And then, so we have that solid thing that we know works, that we know will put in front of us in a systematic way the people that we can help. So it's not a kind of hit and miss, so that we're always, and that's why I say, go talk to people next week and all through January, go talk to people. That is low tech marketing. And that's a system that will work and will grow your company to huge, huge levels just with that, right? So that's kind of like the bread and butter part of it, or the foundational part. And then you can have another part that you're just playing with. I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm going to keep my bread and butter part that I know works, puts people in front of me. And then I'll try this. Hey, I know Facebook ads are far away. That's not close in, but I'll throw $25 at Facebook ads and see what happens, right? I'm not going to invest like $10,000 in it, but I'll try that out. Or maybe I'm going to try out a giveaway, because I've never even heard of those before, but by the end of today, you've heard about those. Or I'm going to try a joint venture with somebody, but I do it judiciously and in a good way. Like we learned with Mary Kay's questions over the coming months, right? We want to learn how to play that, but we leave that in the realm of experiment. One thing we're playing with and experimenting and seeing how that works. And we bring on the ones that work, and the ones that don't work, we let them go, or we refine them. And then we have that staple that's working, right? And when we do that, we gain so much confidence. It's so much fun. We're talking to more and more people who are closer into our ideal client zone. When they're not, that's okay too, because then we refine who our ideal client is. And we put in systems and structures that bring us more and more of the people we're meant to work with. So the people we're not meant to work with, they're further away. And the ones that we're meant to work with are closer in. And I think of Heidi here, for instance. It's not just I know that was a kind of out there example about the KKK, what came up in my mind, I trusted it. Like, clearly we don't want to talk, that's not who we're talking to in this community, right? But even closer in, Heidi says, oh, it's not just any mom with an autistic child. It's a mom with a child with severe autism. Who is it that I really want to play with? So then the words that she's going to use will be very different and really calling to them. It's not because she doesn't also love the people who have autistic children who are high functioning, right? But it's just that her best work is over here. And so she talks to them. And it doesn't even mean that we don't, that love can't descend on them, like be embrace them from the work that we do from out there, all right? Because they can listen in if they want and maybe glean some great information. But we're talking to a real person, and it can be super easy and fun when we know how to play. All right. I was thinking of doing a breakout at this point, but I think you guys got it. I don't think you need a breakout to get this stuff. I think you got it. I think we got it collectively. Yeah. So what I'd love to do to wrap up this first of our four blocks today, and this first block again, what did I call it? Creating empowering stories about marketing. Did we get there? Are you starting to think, shift how you're thinking about marketing? Without that, we can't get anywhere, right? It's a different framework. It's a different inner story. And you're starting to hear marketing as story. We started with the inner stories. If we don't start there, we can't get anywhere. If Heidi has in her head that's going to be, you know, slimy and sleazy and it's out there and, you know, and then we try to do the nuts and bolts work, it's going to be like pulling teeth. We start with the inner story. That's the first story we need to shift and grow to create an empowering story for the basis of all of our marketing work. If we only did this, all of your marketing would change. Your company would change if we really took to heart everything we said here. This is part one, right? So let me see. So marketing truths. We need and want to spend time on marketing. Who wouldn't when we hear it like this? Truth number two, marketing as a moral obligation. Really great for heart-centered entrepreneurs who are going, I can't do this. I'm going to do harm to people. No, you do harm by not doing this. When you don't do this, we are harming people by not helping the people that we could help. It's the opposite of what we thought before. Truth number three, marketing is easy when you know how to do it. Truth number four, marketing can be super fun. When we learn how to play and when we learn what it is and when we have a different basis and we know it's closer into us than we thought. All right, I want to end with this block. I think let's, because I'd love to hear everyone's voice here just before we end. We'll take, I think we could use, I'll let you know how long the break is. It'll be at least 5 minutes, maybe a couple minutes more than that, maybe seven, we'll see. But let's wrap it up with just one or two or three words, not a bunch of sentences. There'll be a time for Q&A after lunch and a time for more, but I want to make sure that we're well rested so we can hear everything and actually assimilate the knowledge from today. Do you get that I just gave you a why for giving a short response here? Having a big why is everywhere. Just want to kind of open up the curtain and notice it's happening. It happens in training, right? So just a short answer, one or two or three words of something that you've gained here, something that's opening for you, not more than a sentence, so that we can get all the other pieces from today. Diane, you're in my upper left-hand corner. One or two or three words that you've gained, or not more than a sentence.
A change in focus.
Yeah, thank you. Dawn.
More clarity.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Block number one. Beautiful. Yvonne.
Increasing marketing hours.
Yes. For most of us, probably substantially. Marnie.
Join hearts and hands.
Oh, I love it. Yes. So beautiful. Marie.
Marketing can be fun.
Yes, thank you. Wendy.
Talk to people.
Yes. Anna Maria.
My inner stories can shift and grow.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. In this area too, right? And Heidi.
Asking how can I help is marketing.
Yes. I already know about this. It comes so naturally to everyone in this room. Thank you. All right. So let's, let me see. I've got 11:25 here. Let's take a 7-minute break. So we'll come back at 11:32. We'll take a longer break after this one. So do whatever you need to refresh yourself quickly so you can be ready for the next block. So much I want to share with you. We'll see you here at 11:32. And Yvonne, if you can help me stop and start the recording, that'd be great. I'm going to stop it now. So we have different segments. Thanks.